Can you first of all tell me what happened? What do you know that happened with your parents or grandparents?
As best we can surmise, they skidded off of a dirt driveway down an embankment and got wedged. The car got wedged against a sapling. They were going relatively slowly. There were no airbags. They had their seatbelts on. No airbags deployed. They had their seatbelts on. As best we can tell, they were not injured at all by the accident itself. Given the unusual position of the car down the embankment, my grandfather, Arthur... After attempting to call, right? I guess chronologically speaking, Arthur... let's rewind. The car went down the embankment, got wedged up against a sapling, a small tree, and my grandmother tried to make, I think, a total of 9 phone calls. She tried calling my father. She tried calling a neighbor. And she also tried calling 911, I think, at least 4 times. And looking at her phone, it just said call ended with 0 seconds as a call duration, which is what you get, of course, when it just doesn't connect. And even when we were up there, it was very difficult to get any kind of a cell signal. You have to walk around the property holding your phone like if you're on Star Trek in order to find the signal, and even then, the call drops pretty quickly. And although we have AT&T, apparently, even Verizon has spotty coverage in that area. You know, when I said earlier I don't want to throw anyone under the bus, it's not like, you know, we want to wage some kind of anti-AT&T campaign. It's not that. You know, if anything can come from this tragedy, it's let's actually let people in rural areas have the same type of thorough cell coverage that we have in urban areas. You know, maybe it doesn't make financial sense for companies to invest in that kind of infrastructure when they're not going to have the same kind of revenue, but let's let the high-density areas subsidize proper coverage for low-density areas, because in this case, you have people who live in a high-density area who happen to be in a low-population area, and well, we saw what happened. They placed the number of cell phone calls at about 4:45 to 5:10 on Thursday, May 3rd, and none of the calls went through. As best we can surmise, as best we can stipulate, they probably tried to get out of the car because they couldn't get any help on the phone. And my grandfather slipped and fell and got wedged under the car door. And the pressure on his chest at 88 years old and in moderately poor health, he actually died of what they call positional asphyxiation. The pressure of the car door on his chest is what killed him. In the mud, and in some of the photos that I don't know if we were supposed to have seen those, but you could see his shoes were removed and his feet and legs were in the car and his upper body was under the car door, wedged, you know, down this relatively steep embankment. We surmise it's because my grandma was trying to pull him back, and that's probably why his shoes came off. After that, again, we're stipulating because no one was there. There's no proof it happened this way, but we assume Grandma went headfirst out of her passenger seat, over the driver's seat, down into the embankment, and basically in the underbrush went down to the main road and then trekked probably a quarter mile uphill to the neighbor's house, and that's with 2 replaced knees and a cane. And by the time she got there... no one was there. The neighbors had actually returned home from their vacation home the day before. And as best we can surmise, she was probably exhausted. She sat down.
It had rained. It started raining again.
And, you know, but that would have been maybe 5, 6 p.m. How long did it take her to get there? We don't know. Maybe an hour. It would have taken her at her age and in her condition to get there. Around 8:30 at night, as best we can tell from historical weather information, it started to rain. Thunderstorms started around 11:30 at night, and when she was found the next day around noon, she was found soaked, and she'd actually pulled a plastic tarp over herself to cover herself. and the medical examiner said that she was in excellent health and had a good 10 years left, but that she, on the inside, she showed definite signs of exposure. I don't know what they're called, but some sort of ulcers form when the body is under the duress of exposure, and she showed extensive signs of that. So, you know, she died sometime over the night, several hours after the actual accident. You know, we kind of wish they'd just stayed in the car and just kept honking for a couple of hours. Someone would have heard them. We wish that that grandma had gone downhill instead of uphill, because it wouldn't have been as fatiguing to her, and she would have had the opportunity to maybe pass several neighbors' houses instead of one. She could have found somebody. You know, it's just...
Or broken the glass to get in the house. I don't think that would even occur to her to do that.
You know, but did she have the strength to pick up a piece of firewood and throw it through a window? You know, she was 89, you know. She couldn't hold her great-granddaughter unless she was sitting down.
Yeah.
You know, and it's kind of remarkable, we think, that she managed to trek as far as she did uphill.
Try to save her husband.
Try and save her husband, you know. I mean, I don't know. It's just sad all around.
It is. It sounds like a very unbelievable story.
What we're trying, hoping is going to come out of this, sir, is that waking people's awareness, and that local communities see that the self-service is more of a necessary need than a moneymaker for some community. I'm not saying that this is what the issue was, but self-service is really an essential service that communities should be providing, perhaps without any cost any revenue to them from a cell tower. It should be a joint thing between the company selling a service and the communities who need this service.
I guess you could even stipulate, you know, or speculate, sorry, at what point is cell phone service, is connectivity to the emergency services through cell phones, a utility as opposed to a luxury? You know, is it more of a necessity? In a world where people don't have landlines increasingly, and cell phone companies hesitate to give you relays because of how it can throw off cell service triangulation and 911 service and all that, well, you know, I mean, it should be more of a necessity. The impetus for Barry, the reporter from the Daily News, contacting us yesterday was we put an obituary in the New York Times 2 days ago, on Wednesday, and I guess when he was reading it, the obituary, it struck a bell of familiarity that there was an elderly couple that died a couple of years ago on the New York State Thruway under similar circumstances. They had an accident and ended up off the road, not visible to passersby, and had no cell phone coverage in that specific area. And over the course of, I think, a couple of days, they ended up dying no food, no water, and exposure to the elements. And it's just, you know, how many times are we going to lose people just simply because either a community has not elected to, or elected not to, or doesn't have the pull to have, you know, a tower put up? All you have to do is look at the coverage map, and you see that there's towers all along the heavily, densely traveled areas. And if you don't happen to live in one of those or be in one of those, well,
you're on your own.
You're on your own, you know. And yeah, sure, we survived on our own for decades and hundreds of years before cell phones. But you know, if you can get, if I can get a cell phone call in the middle of the outback in Australia, I think we should have better coverage here in New England, of all places. You know,
not New England, New York.
Well, New York, whatever. You know, upstate New York. It's not like we're in the sticks, you know.
Exactly. Yeah. And personally, for you and your father, I understand you're going to pick up the ashes this afternoon.
Yeah, that's right.
And what will happen with the ashes? What are you going to do with them?
We're taking them. They'll go to Europe. My mom wanted to have her ashes returned to her birthplace, and my stepdad's family wants them to stay together. So they're both going to go there and probably scattered over the Alps.
Oh, that's beautiful. I'm sorry we didn't meet under more pleasant circumstances, but I appreciate your giving us your time and pausing on your sad journey. And my heart goes out to both.
Bye. Bye.